Good morning, all. Today we're going to, if you'll turn up the first slide there, we're on the series of Who Do You Say That I Am, or Who Am I to You? And today we're going to be talking about Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. And it is interesting to note that sheep are the number one animal mentioned in the Bible. And over 100 times, the word sheep is used to refer to the people of God. Psalm says, "We are your people, the sheep of your pasture." And so I want to talk to you about the shepherd today. I'd like to share with you what it means to know him as Jehovah Rohi. I would like, as we begin to explore the different characteristics and attributes of God in this series, I would ask simply that you open your spirit and allow God to reveal himself to you in each and every one of these roles that he wants to play in your life. We go to John, the 10th chapter, the 11th through the 16th verse. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." It's interesting here, as Jesus reveals himself to be our shepherd, there's another interesting thing that he is revealing to the disciples at this point, and he is actually revealing to him that he will be bringing the Gentiles into his fold. He said, there's sheep that are not of this fold, but I'm going to bring them in from another fold to bring them all together, to make them one. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Robert Morris tells a story of his visit to the Holy Land a few years ago. And he said that in the process of their tour, they went and they drove up to the edge of a mountainous drop-off, and in below him was this huge, giant valley of just luscious grasses. And the guide was telling them that in the midst of the old days, that there would be upwards to 15 to 20,000 sheep in that valley at any given time, and there would be hundreds of shepherds out there watching over these sheep. And the shepherds would bring those sheep into this valley and feed them during the day. And then at the end of the day, when the shepherds got finished visiting and the sheep had done their grazing and everything else, one of the shepherds would simply stand up and make a call. And maybe 1,500 or 2,000 of those sheep would raise their head up, and the shepherd would start walking, and those sheep would start following that shepherd out of the valley. And another shepherd over here would make the call that his sheep knew him by. And the same thing happened. And by the end of the day, all the sheep had followed their shepherd out of the valley, and there was no sheep left in the valley. I would like to let you know that God wants you to be able to hear his voice. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. God can and will speak to you. He will call to you to let you know that he's there to lead you through and take you to where you need to go in your life. One thing that we need to become aware of is that when we find ourselves doing things that God would not have us do, it does not change God's view towards us. But what it does, it changes our view towards God. When Adam and Eve sinned and God began to walk in the garden, they hid themselves from the Lord. God didn't change his view of them. They changed their view of God. And so no longer did they want to walk in his midst and be in his presence because of the condemnation they felt in their spirit. And when we find ourselves not doing that which is right with God, we tend to draw away from the shepherd. We tend to start moving toward the outer edges of the flock to where it is more difficult to hear his voice. And I want you to know that God don't want you on the outside. He wants you there next to him so that he can speak to you gently and let you know that he's there to lead you through the deal. Now, all that was for free. I don't know where that came from, but there it is. Let's go to slide number two, the characteristics of sheep. One of the things I'd like to share with you before I get into this is that sheep are not beasts of burdens. Now, I want you to get what I'm fixing to say here. They were never meant to carry a pack. You don't have guides in the wilderness that have pack sheep. Okay? You see llamas as pack animals. You see burros. You see donkeys. You see mules. You see horses. But you don't see sheep as pack animals because they were never meant to be beasts of burden. Sometimes we pick up those things that we were never supposed to pick up in the first place. If we will just learn to listen to and rely on the shepherd, he will be our provider. He will take care of us. I'd like you to look here. We see that characteristics of sheep. Number one, they wander and can be led astray. Let me ask you a question. Does that apply to human beings also?
Absolutely.
Okay. Number two, they eat anything, even if it's detrimental to their health. Now, I can eat just about anything, as you can see, except if it's dairy products that's been left out to rot and then called food, like sour cream and buttermilk, you know. They are dependent for direction and protection, and they are defenseless. Now, some people would say that they're stupid. Let's take a look at this little video we got right here. Here's a sheep being rescued.
Абош, отойди.
Нет, сам.
Он боится и так, Тас, отойди.
Я пойду.
Абош, отойди.
Нет.
Такого маленького.
Потяни сейчас сам. Вверх потяни. Ой, умничка, Риад, умничка. Ногу не сломай только ему. Умничка, умничка, за обе ноги. Молодец, Фиат, умничка, умничка. Все, операция удалась. Ух ты, дурак!
Anybody see us in those situations?
Absolutely.
The shepherd comes along. He pulls us out of the pit that we dug for ourselves. And then a few minutes later, a few weeks later, we find ourselves right back in the same pit that the shepherd, in his love, came to draw us out of. That is the characteristics of the sheep. Let's turn to slide number three, the duties of the shepherd. The responsibilities of a shepherd is to provide for the sheep food, water, shelter, to protect the sheep from predators and health problems, and to keep the sheep calm and content. The problems with contentment and calmness in sheep is that when sheep are not kept calm, when they have levels of stress in their life, it affects their reproductive function. It affects, it impairs the body and the wool growth and the meat quality. It reduces the immune function and is associated with greater parasite burdens in the sheep. Chronic stress induces alterations in the behavior patterns, and particularly activity and feeding and the day-to-day rhythms of behavior. How many of us find ourselves changing our behavior patterns when we find ourselves in a lot of stress, when we take on a lot of stress? In fact, most medical clinics and journals today will tell you that the reason that we are seeing and experiencing the high rate of cancer and different diseases in our society today is because our immune systems are not responding the way that they were intended to due to the stress levels that we carry in our day-to-day lives. And so, in fact, when we carry those burdens that we were never meant to carry, we are, in fact, wounding ourselves and hurting ourselves. Let's look at, go back to 1 Peter 5 and 8. One of the jobs of the shepherd is to provide protection. It says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I want you to understand something. We as a sheep, or we as the sheep of his pasture, need to learn to walk close to the shepherd. Understand that the wolf and the lion is not afraid of the sheep, but they're afraid of the shepherd. Praise the Lord. When we walk next to him, we can walk with the confidence that whatever the enemy tries to bring against us, that the shepherd is there to protect us from that evil. Praise the Lord. He says in John the 10th chapter and the 27th and the 28th verse. Now, one of the things that the Bible talks about the enemy wanting to destroy us is that destruction in the Bible is also talked about when it's describing hell. Okay? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death or destruction. And here the Bible says in John the 10th chapter and 27, 28th verse, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Doesn't matter how many times the enemy comes against you, doesn't matter how many times you feel frightened because the enemy is right at the door, the shepherd is there with his rod and his staff to protect you and to keep you, and no one can take you out of the Father's hand. Praise the Lord. He has given us a promise. He has given us a hope. He has given us something that we do not deserve, but he has given it freely, and that is the hope of that eternal life with him. I'd like to go to, if you will, to Psalms, the 23rd chapter. This is a course of scripture that just about everybody knows by heart. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I want you to understand the intimate and possessive context of this particular verse of scripture. David is not talking about somebody else's shepherd. He's not talking about something that he's heard about, but he is talking as a result of personal experience here in this particular verse of scripture. Understand and know that the whole purpose of this series is to get you to be able to walk in the shoes that David walked in here. So that you can know him as your shepherd. He said, I shall not want. Now the word want here in the Hebrew actually means I shall not lack. So the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not have lack. And I have taught you over the past few weeks how the Lord wants you to have sufficiency in all things. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. One of the interesting things here is that when we look at this picture, we see a picture of peace and contentment. We don't see a beast carrying a burden here, but we see somebody that is free of the cares of this world, somebody that has shed off all of the burdens that they might have picked up along their way in life, and they are walking free, and there is peace and contentment in their spirit and their soul. Over the many years of my life that I've lived, I have spent countless days, weeks, and months out in the outdoors. And 13 years I was a scoutmaster, and for 13 years, once a month, I took a troop of Boy Scouts that numbered in a number of around 30 on backpacking trips once a month up into the High Sierras there in California and Yosemite National Park and different areas of the state. And the interesting thing for me is that when I was in those mountains, when I was up there in those valleys and beside those alpine lakes or those mountain lakes up there in the and I could look upon those waters, and when the wind wasn't blowing, it was looking as if I was looking in a mirror, because all of the mountains that was surrounding that lake and all of the trees and everything was reflected in that lake. And it was just a picture of serenity, just a picture of peace. And I will tell you that I have never, ever felt closer to God than when I was in those places. It was almost as if I could just reach out and touch him because he was so very close. And it would literally bring tears to my eyes, and I would just begin to pray right there up there in those beautiful, beautiful places. That's the kind of place that the shepherd wants to lead you today. He wants to lead you to the place that no matter where you find yourself, you will feel that peace and the serenity and the contentment that's there in the Holy Spirit so that you can just rest in His presence and know that while you're resting in His presence, that there is a shepherd that is standing over you, protecting you, keeping the enemy at bay. Forgive me, as I get older, I get worse about my crying. So, but I'm moved by this. This touches my heart. This touches my spirit. One of the country boys says, I resemble that remark. I understand what the Lord is trying to say to us here. When we come to the house of the Lord, I'm going to do it. That's why I brought my phone up here. I don't normally do that, but I'm going to today because I wanted to read something to you from Charles Spurgeon. He says, some Christians try to go to heaven alone in solitude, but believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people. When we come to the house of the Lord, we can come here and feast on the green pastures of His Word, which brings the contentment. When the worship team comes up here and begins to worship the Lord, that peace that passes all understanding just floods our spirit as the worship teams begin to lift up the holy name of the Lord through songs and praise. It says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I told you the story last week of Robert Morris's uncle that went to the pastor and asked the pastor if there was any kind of relief that he could receive from God because of the PTSD that he suffered from coming home from Vietnam and everything else. And the pastor told him that God couldn't help him, and the man went home and took his life. I wonder if somebody had introduced that pastor maybe to the shepherd. Obviously, the pastor never knew him as the shepherd because he could have pointed right here and said, He restores our soul. You know, we go through life and maybe we don't talk about restoring our soul, but we talk about heartbreak and heartache that comes in our lives through some form or fashion and everything else. But the Bible says that He is here to heal the brokenhearted. He can and will restore your soul. He will lead you. He doesn't drive you. He doesn't force you to go anywhere. He simply walks ahead of you, and all you have to do is walk in His shadow and know that wherever He leads you, it will be in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Understand the use of the rod and the staff of the shepherd. The rod was used mainly to beat away predators that might come after the sheep. It was also used to guide and correct the sheep, as was the staff, if they started wandering too close to the edge of a cliff, or if they started wandering towards poisonous plants that they would eat that would harm them. The shepherd could just use the staff and just kind of gently guide them away from that particular area or that particular danger. The rod and the staff was never meant to beat the sheep. It was never meant to wound the sheep, because it was the lamb that was wounded for our transgressions. He was the one bruised for our iniquities. So we don't have to carry that. We don't have to bear that because the shepherd has already taken that upon himself. He says, the other thing that I'd like to, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I know that there are many times that I can look back on my life that I have felt like that I had been in the biggest battle that I had ever entered into in my life. I can look back over the most darkest period of my life, and I will tell you that was the 8 years that I spent in a federal institution. But even in the midst of that battle, I can look back upon it now and I can see the blessings of God on my life. I can see Him spreading that table before me in the presence of my enemy. Even in the worst times of my life, the blessings of God were there. And I would encourage each and every one of us, it doesn't matter what we find ourselves going through at this point in time in our life, but if you will begin to look around and look for the blessings that God is bestowing upon you, even in the midst of the battle, I promise you that will encourage you. That will give you strength to get through to the other side. I will tell you that God forgive me, and He has, that during that course of time in my life, I did not attempt to go to church. I did not attempt to read my Bible on a daily basis. I did not attempt to pray on a regular basis. Very seldom did I pray. When I went into that dark hour of my life, I was mad at God. I thought it was God's fault that I was there, not recognizing it was the consequences of my own sin, my own failure, my own pride. But I can remember that there were many times when I would lay down in bed at night and I'd lay my head on my pillow and get ready to sleep. And I just felt this nudging of the Holy Spirit as He said, will you acknowledge me today? Will you recognize that the shepherd is drawing nigh unto you? And as I would begin to lay there and couldn't help but start weeping and crying and praying before the Lord, and in an instant, I felt His presence there. In fact, He drew nigh to me before I drew nigh to Him. I want you to know that when the shepherd sees a sheep in trouble, he doesn't wait until the predator gets a hold of him and starts dragging him off. He moves quickly to intervene, to stand between the predator and his sheep. He's not the hireling. He's not going to run away and hide and allow the sheep to come into the fold. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In addition to the provision that He provides, the food, the protection, the peace, and the contentment, David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. In the Hebrew, this says, surely goodness and mercy shall chase me all the days of my life. We sing that song in worship. Your love is running after me. And then on top of it all, as Jesus said in John, the 10th chapter, David says it again here, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In addition to all of his provision, in addition to all of his promises, in addition to all of his protection, heaven too. I'd like to share one little story with you before I close this morning. It says there was the story of the old priest that had been in the ministry for 50 years, and he called upon Richard Burton to come to his 50th year ordination celebration. And he asked Richard Burton, who was a friend of his, if he would get up at the close of the celebration and quote the 23rd Psalm. And so Richard Burton said, I will, but you have to quote the 23rd Psalms after I do. We'll both quote it. So Richard Burton, being the actor and the speaker that he was, got up and at the conclusion of the celebration, and he quoted the 23rd Psalm, and everybody in the room stood and applauded, and because it was such a great manner in which he delivered it. And then Richard Burton turned to the priest and said, now I've asked the priest to come up here and say the 23rd Psalm. When the priest got up and quoted the 23rd Psalm, when he was done, there was no applause. There was no standing ovation. And there was not a dry eye in the place. Somebody came up to Richard Burton at the conclusion of the ceremony and asked him, well, why did everybody get up and applaud you? And everybody cried when the priest quoted the 23rd Psalm. And Richard Burton said, because I know the Psalms, but he knows the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd today? Do you know Jehovah Rohi? Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? I pray that after the day that you can do so. Thank you. God bless you.